Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hi, everyone. It's Belinda Ellsworth with Work From Your Happy Place, and we've got a great show for you today. I have Jake Badsgaard with me today, and after growing one of his first clients from 25 to 250 employees, Jake realized he had a gift for using pay-per-click marketing to drive dramatic business results. To help more companies succeed online, Jake founded Disruptive Advertising, a PPC and CRO management agency that has helped hundreds of companies realize unprecedented growth and profitability from the online advertising. In the 4 years since its founding, Disruptive Advertising has grown from 2 employees working in Jake's basement to a flourishing agency with more than 90 employees and a run rate of over $12 million, putting it at number 145 on the 217 500 Inc. list. Jake's ability to assess and clearly explain complicated issues has made him a favorite in a variety of forums. Jake is a regular contributor on a variety of blogs, including notable publications like Entrepreneur, Forbes, and Search Engine Land, where his wit and ability to make even tedious topics engaging, eliciting rave reviews from his readers. Jake's humor, charm, and insight aren't limited to the written word, though he has spoken at numerous events and webinars, including SMX, Kiss Metrics, Create Nation, Unbounce, Starfest, and others, and has a gift for both entertaining and educating his audience. Attendees usually leave comments on how much they enjoyed his sessions and how much he gave them to think about. As a business owner, author, and speaker, Jacob Bagsgard's witty, thoughtful, and genuine approach to pay-per-click advertising makes him a compelling leader in the digital marketing arena. It's my pleasure to welcome Jake to our show.
Belinda, thanks. I am way cooler than I thought I was.
Yeah, that was quite a bio. So that's exciting. So Jake, why don't we just like sort of jump in here, fill us in on some of the gaps of your bio, because people want to know about the journey. So it sounds like you have done some amazing things, but you know, what happened when you started that business with 2 people in your basement and then how you kind of grew that. So the journey to get there and then kind of a little bit about the journey along the way.
Yeah, you bet. There are a couple of, there's 2 moments when you ask that question that immediately come to mind. So I'm going to roll with those 2. The first one was the person that probably believed in me before I believed in myself early on in my career, recently graduated and got the job that I was excited about, got into it and realized I had no idea what I was doing. And my mentor or trainer and I were just not on the same wavelength. And I thought, I am a fraud. I am dumb. I don't get any of this. And I just thought, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do next. And someone that wasn't on my team one day just walked by and said, "Hey, Jake, how are you doing?" And I said, "I'm fine," because that's what we all say when people ask us that question, right? And he said, "Bullshit. You're not fine. I can see that. What's going on, man?" And so he proceeded for the next 2 months to just spend a couple of hours a day with me, helping me understand how to do my job better, being a good friend, and really working through that with me. And I really look back at a lot of the success that I've had in my career, and I really attribute a lot of it to that, because he believed in me and gave me confidence that I didn't have in myself. And so that's the first thing that came to mind, Belinda, when you ask, where did things get going? Because the skill set that I developed in that job was helping businesses get great data to understand how their marketing was performing. And that was the skill that I developed there. And then later translated that into building my own agency around that. And the catalyst to make that jump was in an annual review. And in that annual review, I was substantially ahead of my peer set. I remember being told I'd get a 9% raise and how great that was. And I just remember looking at that and thinking, oh man, this is really all that corporate America has to offer me. I can work at level X and get compensated at level Y, but I really want to perform at level 10X and get compensated close to 10Y. And that's just not happening here. And so that was ultimately the catalyst for me to take the skill set that I'd developed and really and break off on my own.
Well, that's awesome. So then how has that business shaped your lifestyle today?
Well, the business has at times severely damaged my lifestyle and has severely improved my lifestyle, depending on when we look at in that timeline. And a couple of things that pop out to me. First 3 or so years of the business, we're close to finishing 5 years now. I worked way too many hours. I prided myself on the lack of sleep that I would get and was out of balance in a lot of areas of my life. But that being said, we did make a lot of progress and get things off the ground very quickly. And so I look at that and definitely some trade-offs. I probably wouldn't do it the same way if I were to do it again, though. I probably would have been okay with, you know, saying no a little bit more and having a little bit more balance. But I do feel like in the end it's been worth it because the business has achieved enough volume and credibility in the marketplace that it's a lot more sustainable now. And so overall, I'm happy with where things have landed.
Very good. So you wrote in here that you like being more connected to husband and father. So obviously you have a family.
I do. I've been married for 12 years and I have 3 daughters.
Oh, wonderful. I'm sure that keeps you hopping.
It sure does.
Great. So let's talk a little bit then about a couple of your skill sets, like very specific skill sets that you feel you have that have really helped contribute to your overall success.
Yeah, you bet. One of the areas that I've just seen that almost every business either lacks the bandwidth or expertise is in their ability to understand how their marketing dollars are performing. And so the skill set that I've developed over the last decade plus is being able to integrate all the different marketing channels into simple to interpret and understand analytics. And so the most popular ones, as you might imagine, would be on Google or Facebook. That's where a lot of the digital dollars are currently being spent. And a lot of the times, the crazy thing is we've actually conducted over 4,000 audits at this point in the business with our software. And what we've found is that 76% of those budgets are completely wasted because they just don't even know really what it's ultimately turning into for their business. And we've been able to identify the common mistakes and pitfalls that businesses are making and to help them either A, save a lot of money, or B, reallocate those funds that were being wasted into more profitable channels to accelerate growth. And so, I mean, that's really the skill set that we've developed and that we're known for in the market is, hey, if I spend a dollar advertising on Google or a dollar spending on Facebook, what's it getting me? And that we can put those dots together.
I think one of the biggest, maybe you can address this, and I'd love that, because I get asked this all the time, or I get told people are doing this all the time. And I'm trying to learn this space, obviously, a little bit better for my own business by surrounding myself with intelligent people, but I would say it has been a learning curve for us in the last 3 years. And but one of the things I know that we did, and I've been told since then that you were just throwing your money kind of away, is the money that people spend in boosting a post that they think, oh, when Facebook comes up and says, oh, boost this for this to reach a larger audience. What are your feelings about that as far as you're saying 76% of it is wasted?
You know, boosted posts can be hit or miss depending on how relevant your audience is to begin with.
Okay.
And so if you've got a relevant audience, that can be a great way of getting additional exposure. But Facebook, just like Google, eventually monetizes the attention of the users on the platform, right? So you used to be able to post something and most people in your audience would see that. And now you've got to boost it just for them to see it so that they can monetize the platform. That being said, boosting posts is a great way to kind of get more content out there and to do things, specific things, but we haven't really found that to be scalable or the driver behind really moving the needle for the business from a revenue standpoint. And so we focus more on the actual ads themselves rather than boosting posts.
And the only reason I say that is I will talk to people about advertising on Facebook specific, and they'll say, oh yeah, we are advertising, but they're boosting posts. And there really is quite a big difference in those two things.
Big difference.
Yes. Yep. All right. So what is one of the most outstanding accomplishments then that you have? received?
Well, let's see. As far as the accomplishments that generally I feel the most proud of in the business, is there's a handful of people in my organization that I thought that things weren't going to work out. They were not performing at a very good level. We had to have that coming to Jesus moment where we sat down and said, hey, this isn't working. Your performance isn't in alignment with your compensation. And quite frankly, I just don't know if this is going to be a good fit. Here's exactly what we would need to see in order for this to be a good fit. Are you in? And when I look back over the last couple of years, those are quite frankly the more satisfying accomplishments that we've had, is to see a few of those people turn into top performers in our organization that really stepped up at a critical moment in their career and for us as a business. And those are the things that I look at and that I feel proud of. I look at people in my organization that at a younger age than I was that are performing at much higher levels. And I think that when it really comes down to it, revenue numbers are great, profit, a lot of the sexy numbers that we tend to focus on. But what I'm probably the most proud of is just creating an environment of growth for the for myself and for the people that I work with, where we can come, put our hearts into it, and get back out what we're putting into it, and to see people succeeding like that. I just really thrive on that. I really enjoy it.
That's awesome. So then kind of the opposite of that is, what's one of your biggest challenges that you faced, and then how did you work through that?
You know, there's two things that come to mind. The first one's simple. We said yes to way too many engagements or clients or revenue that we should have said no to, or especially earlier on in the business. And even now, it can always be a struggle, but I have learned that there is such a thing as bad revenue. The opportunity cost that comes with taking on a client that is the wrong fit for us as an organization, or a variety of those things. Or if it's just someone that, quite frankly, we don't want to work with because they're a jerk, you know? Yep. Those are out there. And quite frankly, especially early on, we were just too really wanted to just take anything that we could get. And that's one thing that I've learned is, man, there is such a thing as bad revenue, and it is not worth the cost to take that on. And then the second thing that I've personally struggled with, especially needing to be a leader and an effective manager in the organization as it's grown, is this need that I have to be seen as a nice guy. And that, unfortunately, it's caused me to make decisions that have compromised my personal success, the success of the business, and the individuals that I'm working with. And so what I mean by that is, rather than being honest and direct with people, sugarcoating things, not holding people accountable because I want to be seen as the nice guy, when all it does is it shoots us all in the foot. And so I've really had to learn to change that mindset from the best thing that I can do for someone sometimes is to give them honest and direct feedback of the areas that they need to improve. Sometimes the best thing I ever could have done for someone and myself was to let them go in the organization rather than holding on for an extra 6 months that was uncomfortable for a whole bunch of people. Those are the situations that I've found that I've had to really work on with business coaches, reading literature, not just trying to be this perceived nice guy, but to do what the right thing is. And that ultimately that's what I've got to do.
Right.
And that's where it's been a struggle.
And I think that is a very difficult thing. I was going to ask, how have you done that? But you just then continued to say through coaches and reading material.
Well, and the one thing that I didn't say is by getting burned a few times as well and paying the price for it. Because rather than sugarcoating things or kicking the can down the road, you pay a hefty price for that. And so I've had that burned into my soul.
Absolutely. And that's not pleasant either. That's for sure. Don't you think, though, that there's this somehow it's also learning your own value, your own worth? Like, I think that when we want to be a nice guy, we want people to like us instead of doing the job that needs to be done. And I think a lot of people, you know, struggle with that internally. Is this just, I want to be liked?
It is. It comes. You are absolutely correct. It comes from absolute and complete insecurity.
Absolutely.
About myself.
I would agree with that. And I think that that is, I was glad to see, have you say it instead of me, but because I have struggled with that too, right? And because you want to be liked, but there is this insecurity of either am I as good as I think that I am? Like you said, having that whole sort of fraud feeling of I'm really not doing this thing. I don't know. There's a whole bunch of feelings wrapped up with that. And I think that I love this topic because I think it's huge. And I don't think a lot of people talk about it with honesty. And so
I was just going to say what I've found. One of two things happens when you go down that wrong path. I need to be the nice guy. I don't want to be. I either completely blame myself for someone's lack of performance and say it's completely my fault. They have no responsibility in this, which is partially true, but not a complete truth. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't move us forward either.
Correct.
The other thing that I'll do is then I'll start to nitpick everything that they're doing and to start finding faults to prepare my heart to do eventually what I know I need to do anyway, which isn't healthy either. Right.
Absolutely. And that is exactly, it's almost like I can go from everything is fine to really isn't, but you don't want to address it to then I'm almost like, then I'm crazy. I'm crazy obsessed with absolutely every single thing that's wrong. And I think you're right. I think that makes it easier for us to say, look, this just isn't working.
Right. Rather than, hey, you're a good person. I'm a good person. And clearly this isn't a good fit and or this is what it would need to look like. And not basing our emotional or just our individual worth on how that conversation goes.
Absolutely. So what does working from your happy place mean to you?
Man, my happy place, I am at my core, I am a sales and marketer. And so when I'm working from my happy place, those are the things that I'm working on. There is nothing better to me than crafting the perfect message or being involved in a strategic sales conversation when you know that what you have to bring to the table is a game changer for the person you're talking to. Those are the moments that I just absolutely love. And then the second component outside of that, and as in more of a leadership role, is to see other people in their happy place, right?
Yep.
We've got an organization that, man, I look back and people that have been here for 2-3 years oftentimes have doubled or more their income while they're here because we're a very performance driven organization. And so if you perform, you're going to get rewarded for that. And to just see people come in and accomplish things they didn't even think they were capable of. Like seeing that occur in something that I've been a part of helping create, like I find that very satisfying as well.
That's pretty exciting. And I know exactly what you mean by that. So that's pretty cool. And you want to know what? It's really funny because not many people also say, I love sales. I love sales and I love marketing and I love it when it clicks. And I love it when I'm working with a client that is an idea. I love it when I'm selling my own things. And it's an interesting thing because a lot of people wouldn't give that answer. I mean, they would just say, and a lot of people look at it that you're driven by making money and it's like, or the sale, because they sort of equate it to that. But there really is an art to being able to teach people how to articulate what it is that they're trying to achieve. And I think that people, you know, definitely people have ideas about people, salespeople, and, you know, they don't want to be like, if I've heard this one time, I've heard it 1,000 times. I don't want to be like a pushy salesperson. And I think people have this negative connotation that to be successful, you're being pushy or you're being too aggressive or you are, you know, being annoying. And it's always irritating to me. And I think that's why people don't give that answer. I love that honesty because that's when I'm in my happiest place too, man. When it is clicking and I know that what I just told you is going to help your business grow and make you a lot of money and it's going to be exciting. And people have a really hard time with that and a real struggle with that because I think somehow they equate it to you, you know, shouldn't want to make more money, or you do have to be this pushy person, and you don't if you're coming from a place of service and bringing value. And I don't know. So I'd love you to elaborate on that a little bit since you gave that as your answer.
You know, I can tell that we have some similar passion there. So it's always good to be amongst similar minded people. My favorite part of the sales process is asking questions, listening, and understanding their business, their goals, their objectives, the challenge that they're facing. Because I don't sell to anyone until I know what I have to sell can actually help them get from point A to point B. And that to me is what I think makes the process fun. I mean, we have about 500 businesses a month reach out to us through the content and ads that we run for ourselves. And we're not even a good fit for like 70% of them that call us, right? Or that fill out our form. And that's because we really enjoy the process of understanding what's going on first before we even try and sell anything. Because I don't want to waste your time and I don't want to waste my time selling you something that you don't need. But man, once I've understood your current situation and see that, whoa, and we are going to make a big impact here. Oh man, that's when it gets fun.
Absolutely. So one of the things that you said, and I know this is so true, and I think it's hard for people, especially as new entrepreneurs, but you said, don't go after bad revenue. And at the beginning, you say yes to everyone. Where is there a point when a person understands, like when we can start being pickier maybe, or how do you, from the beginning, how do you not choose that when you're just so badly wanting to grow your business? And where is that fine line? And where have you learned that balance? Or what kinds of things maybe help you to trigger picking the right people? And sometimes you don't know till you have them, but being willing to let go of that person when it's not a good fit.
You know, it's interesting. It's almost a contradiction because I'm a very growth-minded person, and I would rather try a bunch of things and fail quickly and then land where I need to be rather than try and do it perfectly and take forever to try one thing and it still may not work out. And so there it is. It's a tricky balance, and it's going to be pretty personal depending on the circumstances, because sometimes you don't even know what bad revenue is until you've had it.
Exactly.
And, there's nothing that you or I could say on a podcast that sometimes you just got to touch the hot oven to realize you shouldn't touch it again. And I think that life is a lot more like that than we often give credit for. We can learn through other people's experiences. We can listen to great podcasts like this one, or read or listen to books, or get advice from peers and mentors. And at the end of the day, a lot of it really is, it really does come from personal experience. And so what I would say is that the sooner you can figure it out, the better. And so for me, it's more of a, hey, let's sit down and the sales that we got, or whatever the circumstances might be, let's talk about, was this a good fit and why was it yes or no, so that we can learn about this next time. Where I see people going too far down the path is they don't even start asking the question until they're way too far down the path. And so I just think each engagement, each sale, I think that it's good to have that in our minds to say, was this good revenue? Does this fall into the 80-20 rule? Would I love working with these types of clients? Are these the types of clients that I can add the most value for that are also the best for my business? Those are the questions that I'm asking to make sure that things align long term.
I also, this is just my personal opinion, but you know, it's been the case for myself and in talking to other people, I know they've said the same exact thing. There is an intuition, and some people call it gut instinct, that you have almost, if you would look back, you had it at the beginning. And I think that oftentimes that intuition that we have, or that a gut instinct that we have, gets overridden by, well, we need to make this revenue. And almost always, if you go back to the ones that don't work out, you'll say things like, yeah, I had my doubts about this in the beginning. Mm-hmm. Or, oh, I had a gut feeling about this. I know for myself, almost every one that hasn't turned out the way that I would have liked it to have turned out, I had the feeling at the beginning like, oh, I don't know if this is going to be good. Or I have my reservations because, like, there's certain things I have reservations on. And I've learned not to listen. What I have found is when I don't listen to my gut instinct, that's when I end up in those situations. And if I would just learn to follow whatever my intuition is, usually if you can see it in the beginning, this is also my experience, but if you feel that in the beginning, it's probably going to get worse. Because at the beginning is the sparkle stage, and then it just usually goes down a path a little bit further. But I don't know. That's my experience.
I think there is general applicability here. Any of you that are contemplating marriage to somebody you don't get along with well right now, it's probably not going to get better.
That's right. I use that analogy too with people. I mean, you're in the sparkle zone now, man. This is good as it's like it's at its best. And if you can't make it work right now, you're in for big trouble. So I think clients are very, very similar.
Yes, I agree.
All right. So what advice would you give to entrepreneurs or people wanting to be entrepreneurs?
You know, from my experience, what I've found is that ultimately, you know, and that's what I love about this podcast. You really got to get to your happy place. And some people think they want to be an entrepreneur. And the reality is you can be an entrepreneur working within a company, right? Mm-hmm. I wouldn't put all of the eggs in the basket of I have to start, build, and grow a successful business on my own to be an entrepreneur. You know, when I look back, I think that really what people need to focus on is what they can control and a little bit less about putting the stakes of whether or not I've succeeded in life based on some of the outcomes and accomplishments that they had influence over, but not a lot of control. And so when I look at that and I look back at my own career, it's just get really damn good at what you do. That's what I would say. And if you focus on that, all of the entrepreneurial ideas and opportunities, whether that be with your own business, within your existing organization, or even in your personal life with a hobby, all of those opportunities just start to manifest themselves very frequently. And so that's what I would recommend is don't worry too much about this nebulous outcome at some point in the future and just get really damn good at what you're doing. And those opportunities just start to take care of themselves.
That is one of the best pieces of advice that I have heard in this particular question that I ask. So I absolutely love that. And I would encourage our listeners to go back and press replay and listen to it again. Because the piece that I loved that you said the most is people feel that you can be an entrepreneur within a space. You can even create different, you know, paths of income sometimes if you can create a creative space for even in a place that you're working in. And so many people feel that they're either stuck here, I can't create something different for myself. And I always just encourage people to get better at what they do. And they can. I loved when you said you can be kind of an entrepreneur even working for somebody else. And that is absolutely so true. I try to give my staff that creative opportunities all of the time. I want them to help come up with creative things. And I'm always offering them different levels of compensation based on ideas that generate more income. And I just really believe that if people would really own the space they're in, there probably is so many more opportunities for them than they really realize instead of I have to start my own business.
Yeah, I agree.
Yes. So tell us about some new and exciting things that you're working on and where can our listeners find you?
You know, at Disruptive, people come to us because they lack the bandwidth or expertise to grow their business using Google and Facebook. That's what people come to us for. What they don't realize is that success with Google and Facebook also requires that you have a great website experience. And so that's what people come to us for. We have developed technology and built teams that specialize in those particular areas that, hey, let's figure out where you're trying to go with your business, marketing or sales team, and how we can facilitate that via effective advertising on Google and Facebook that we can track through to actual revenue and to the bottom line. And so that's why people reach out to us. And if that's something that you need some help with, just go to disruptiveadvertising.com and reach out. We've actually developed a software that can audit a Google or Facebook account in a matter of seconds. And we can give you here, go do it yourself. Or if you want some help implementing, then you can engage us as well. We've got a lot of free resources and we'd love to just see what you've got going on and point you in the right direction, even if that's not working with us.
Oh, that's perfect. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Jake. I have sincerely enjoyed our interview, and I just wanted to say thanks for your time.
Thanks. It was a pleasure.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends. And be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.